please be seated. It is so good to see all of you. Welcome, and thanks for welcoming us. I take as my text from the Gospel, "Which of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him? Let the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer."
Amen.
Where I'm from, we have a saying. Whenever we talk about someone from up north, we have a tendency to differentiate between Yankees and good Yankees. The stereotype is that all Yankees are bad. They are rude, they are shifty, and they cheat those good Southerners who are unlucky enough to cross their paths. Being that the Creole definition of Yankee is anyone from north of Baton Rouge, there's a harsh outlook on most of the country. However, we always make a stipulation for those, such as all of you, who have managed to escape the carpetbagger typecast. You are all good Yankees. It's my pleasure to know you. I was even able to find one good enough to marry. I consider all of you good Yankees to be my neighbor, and I hope that you consider me to be yours. If this line of discussion is weird to you, let me introduce you to one that you use all the same with that same background, the idea of a good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is a racist term. The Samaritans were the distant cousins of the Judeans. After the death of King Solomon, there was a civil war that tore the kingdom of David in two. The southern kingdom, ruled by the descendants of David and Solomon, and consisting of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, became the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom became known as the kingdom of Israel and was made up of the remaining 10 tribes. The southern kingdom continued to worship Yahweh, our God, in the temple at Jerusalem, but the northerners worshiped on mountaintops in their own kingdom to keep from having to return to the Judean capital. Southerners believe this to be a great heresy because God dwelt in the temple only. They used a pejorative term for the heretic northerners, derived from the name of their capital. They called them Samaritans. The Judeans thought that the Samaritans were all despicable. They rejected the rule of God's chosen kings. They worshipped outside of the temple. They made alliances with foreign kingdoms and traded with the pagans. In 720, the kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrian Empire, which was seen in the eyes of the Judeans as being vindication. 200 years later, the kingdom of Judea fell to the Chaldeans, and the Judeans were taken off into exile. When the Chaldeans were conquered by the Persians, the Persian emperor Cyrus returned the land of Canaan to the Judeans and allowed them to return. The problem was that there are still Samaritans dwelling in those northern lands. The religion of the exiles had progressed to something different while it was in Babylon. It was heavily dependent on the prophetic tradition, of which we have several books, Book of Isaiah and Daniel, Malachi. It saw a great significance in their suffering under the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians. It felt unity in their shared experience and had become exclusively monotheistic during the exile. Samaritans were outsiders. They spoke a different language, and they had different customs. And Judaism still has a custom of isolation, and we saw that in today's reading. In today's gospel, a man is beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. The first person who passes by him is a priest, who crosses the road in order to avoid touching him. The priests, the word priest in Hebrew is Kohen, were bound by more laws than anyone in Jewish society. So coming into contact with blood would have made them unclean and unable to perform the priestly duties without a period of cleansing. Afterward, a Levite, who would have been the equivalent to a deacon in ancient Jewish world, did the same. They saw the man and crossed the street in order to avoid becoming ritually unclean by touching his blood. Both of these men had an obligation to help this man, which was above and beyond the average man or woman. They were servants of God and man, but instead they chose to follow the letter of the law in order to protect their own interests. Today, we say the words Good Samaritan like it is nothing. It's a compliment, even. When Jesus was telling this story to the lawyer, the implication would have been that of all of the terrible things that Samaritans do, there was once, just this one time, a good one. The Judeans did not help their own man, but of all the people who could have helped him, the Samaritan went out of his way to treat him like one of his own. We can use this lesson in today's terms. I grew up hearing about the occasional good Yankee, but what about a good Muslim? There's a tendency in the Western mindset that the basic disposition of Muslims is to be evil towards Christians and Westerners as a whole. There might be one or two good ones out there, but it's in their nature to be hateful jihadists, right? There's a touching photo that I saw recently of an event in Egypt. There was a human chain of Muslim men and women surrounding a church of Coptic Christians during Mass, protecting them from the civil war and rioters which were raging around the congregation. Excuse me. It seems to be a surprise, right? The shock that we feel when we think about these neighborly Muslims is the same that the lawyer in today's gospel would have felt when he first heard this from Jesus. So what should we take away from all of this? The usual interpretation that we get from this story is not wrong, but not quite the whole point, that we should go out of our way to help others. We know that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, but the tendency of most people when we think of our neighbors is to limit that parameter to those who we associate ourselves with. Our congregation, our co-workers, our families, or others in our close proximity who we can personally identify with. What Christ was telling that lawyer in the first century, which message we should take to heart, is that we should treat all people as our neighbors. We are all God's children, and therefore we should act with love toward all people. Christ has taught us that the gospel is for all people, and that we need to spread it to all nations. And this gospel is one that can only be spread by love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.